going to be speaking about tonight is the essence of Mashiach. So if the topic is the essence of Mashiach, the first question that comes to mind that people often ask, actually mentioned it the last time I was there, is we understand that accepting the fact that it's important to discuss at this time about the imminent arrival of Mashiach, and therefore it's important to learn about Yoni Mashiach and Yoni Geula, to have an understanding of what things will be like in the times of Mashiach. It would seem that the main thing to focus on would be what things about the period, the era of Mashiach, what it's going to be like, what do we have to know to prepare for it, how do we prepare for it, focusing on increasing in Torah mitzvahs. And many people ask, why is it important to get involved with the whole issue and the whole topic of who? There's a lot to learn about the Inyan of Mashiach, accepting that if the Lubavitcher ever says that Mashiach is coming, his arrival is imminent, so we can rely on him, and therefore it's necessary to prepare for it by studying about it, and so on. So fine, that's something, I mean, many people don't have that much trouble accepting. The question is, if that's what the Rebbe called for, if that's what the Rebbe asked for, first of all, why get involved in who Mashiach is, and what benefit is there to get involved in who Mashiach is? The main thing would seem to be in what Mashiach is, not who Mashiach is. But the fact is that this is a question that the Rebbe himself addressed. The Rebbe spoke about the very question of what is the essence of Mashiach. We know that many different things will take place in the times of Mashiach. There'll be a Beis HaMikdash, godliness will be revealed, there will be plenty in the world, there will be no warfare, there will be no strife, people will be involved in the study of Torah, the nations of the world will come and serve the Jewish people and ask the Jewish people to teach them about the ways of Hashem. And many different things that if you learn about, there's countless things in the Nevi'im and in the Chazal, what's going to happen in the times of Mashiach. The question is, but what is the essence of Mashiach? What is the central, the key essence, and what are the symptoms? Are all of these things, what's the main point of Mashiach from which all of these things grow out? Everything we know, you could break down, Hasidus explains, that everything in the world that exists, you can break down to, by peeling away layer after layer, you could reach through into anything that you study and try to find what is the key, the point, the nekuda, the point which is the essence on which everything else surrounds. What is the central theme, and what is the symptom? What is the outward manifestation? What is the outward expression? The Rebbe says that these two, we find in life that we need, in order to live, we need air to breathe. Breathing is something that we have to do constantly in order to live. If we stop breathing for a minute, for a long enough period of time, if you stop breathing, there's no more life. Breathing is something you need constantly. So air, which in Hebrew the word for air is avir, is something which is a constant need. And you depend on it for life itself. Air, light, which has the same letters as avir, missing the yud, the word Aleph Vav Resh, the word Ur, light, is something which you need for the quality of life. In order to function, in order to be able to do things, you need to have light. So ear is something that you need in order to live, and light is something which you need in order to function. But even if you don't have light, you can still live. If you don't have ear, you can't live. So ear represents the essence of the thing. That is the thing in which life itself is dependent on. Light, or light, which in and of itself is an outward emanation from a light source. Light, which is something that emanates outward, light represents something which is a key ingredient in life, but it's not essential. It's useful. It makes you capable of living your life, doing something with your life. So there's life itself, and then there's what you do with it. So the Rebbe says that we find in Chazal referred to Ruchei Shel Mashiach, and we find that some Chazal sometimes referred to Eirei Shel Mashiach. Ruchei Shel Mashiach, the Ruach of Mashiach, means the air of Mashiach. And Eirei Shel Mashiach is the light of Mashiach. So the Rebbe says, what is Ruch, what is the air of Mashiach, the key essential ingredient of Mashiach? And what is the light, the outward manifestation, the outward expression, the symptoms of Mashiach? The Rebbe answers this question and says, the air of Mashiach is the revelation of his existence in this world. The fact that Melech HaMashiach exists, that is the essence. What the light of Mashiach is the things that Melech HaMashiach does in the world. Those are already outward expressions, outward manifestations, functions of Mashiach. The air of Mashiach is, the essence of Mashiach is his very existence. And the Rebbe says clearly, an individual who is worthy of being a king, and until he's actually revealed as the king, he's only worthy to be a king, the next minute, at the point at which he is revealed, now what has come down into the world is the essence of Mashiach has come into the world. Once the essence of Mashiach has come into the world, then from that grows out the functions that once Mashiach exists as a part of the physical reality, has broken through. Mashiach always existed. But Mashiach, when Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi asked Elio, where's Mashiach? So he sent him to Gan Eden. Even though we know that in every generation there's a person in that generation who's worthy to be Mashiach, why did he send him to Gan Eden? Because the aspect of Mashiach, of the tzaddik of that generation, was removed from the world, was not something which was revealed in the world. So the essence of Mashiach is the essence of the breakthrough of Mashiach in the world is the revelation of the existence of Melech HaMashiach in the physical reality. After that, from that grows out, from that develops Mashiach as he functions in the world. The things Mashiach does as Mashiach. He wins all his battles, and he redeems the Jewish people, and he builds the Beis HaMikdash, and he reveals godliness, and all those things that he does, those are already outgrowths of his existence. The first, the essence. So the Rebbe says that what's needed today is that we have to start living in the Avir Shel Mashiach. That a Jew, when he wakes up in the morning, before he says Meida Ani. So when all you have is the essence, the only thing that you have here is the Jew before he has done anything. The Jew is coming awake. He's realizing the fact, his existence. So at that point, the only thing you have here is the core essence of his existence. He has not yet done anything to express his existence. Like say Meida Ani. That's already an expression of, now that I exist, I give myself over to Hashem. I say Meida Ani. But that's already expressing your existence. When a Jew wakes up in the morning and he realizes the fact of his existence, before he actually does anything to express the fact of his existence, which is the first thing, he's aware that he's alive and he's breathing, he should feel that he's breathing the air of Mashiach. And the Rebbe explains, what is breathing the air of Mashiach? The air of Mashiach is the revelation of the existence of Melech HaMashiach in this world. Breathing the air of Mashiach means living with Melech HaMashiach as he has been revealed. Then there is already the next step, which is finding expression. A person who feels that his whole existence, his whole Metzius, is bound up, is connected to the Metzius of Melech HaMashiach, to the point that that's the awareness he wakes up with in the morning, then the way that will express itself is that everything that a person does and every move that a person makes throughout the day, he will live his life in a manner of kol yemei chayecho lehavi limeis HaMashiach. If with just his breathing, he feels that his whole existence is Mashiach and his connection to Mashiach, therefore, surely in his activities will be expressed in what he what he thinks and what he says and what he does. In all of his functions will be expressed the fact that kol yemei chayecho lehavi limeis HaMashiach. All the days of your life should be focused on one thing, on, as Chassidus explains, this statement of Chazal, that it should be focused on bringing about limeis HaMashiach. This sikha that the Rebbe spoke about the importance of living in the air of Mashiach, living with the revelation of Melech HaMashiach, is 2 weeks after the Rebbe said a different sikha. 2 weeks before this one, the Rebbe spoke that in every generation there's someone who's worthy of being Mashiach. But in each generation, something happened which prevented the actual revelation of this individual as Melech HaMashiach. The Rebbe says, however, we know, the Rebbe said, we know that our generation is the last generation of Golos and the first generation of Geula. Since we know that as a fact, that we're the last generation of exile and the first generation of redemption, therefore, it must be that the leader, that the Nasi of our generation, the leader of our generation, who's worthy of being Mashiach, since nothing can prevent Mashiach coming in this generation, at this point that's already final, that's sealed, nothing can prevent. In earlier generations, things came up which prevented it from happening. In this generation, nothing can prevent it from happening. So if nothing can prevent it from happening, so de facto, you have the revelation of Melech HaMashiach. Because you know that in every generation, the Nasi of the generation is Mashiach, is worthy of being Mashiach. But in other generations, you had the possibility, you couldn't say that Mashiach was revealed, because you had the possibility that it wouldn't work out, and there would be another generation with another leader. But since in our generation, that can't happen, because we know that this is the generation of Geula, therefore you have a de facto revelation of Melech HaMashiach. It comes out that the identity of Melech HaMashiach is already revealed. Because since we know the Nasi Adir is the one who is Mashiach, and we know that this generation is the generation of Mashiach, so we know that the Nasi of this generation is Mashiach. So his identity is already revealed. 2 weeks after this, the Rebbe spoke about the need, that the main thing in living with Mashiach is living with Mashiach himself. That is the essence of Mashiach. And everything that Mashiach does, the functions of Mashiach, are only outgrowths of who Mashiach is. So the main thing, the main thing is who Mashiach is, not what Mashiach is. But if it's not time for who Mashiach is to be revealed, then you could say that speculation, that since you're required to believe in that Mashiach is coming, and there has been no signal from above that it's time for who Mashiach is to be revealed, So your speculation, even though it was something that Jewish people indulged in, dating back to the times of the Gemara and throughout history, that Jewish people did indulge in identifying who they supposed to be the most likely candidate to be Mashiach. But that is not called the revelation of Mashiach. The revelation of Mashiach is when you've gone beyond speculation, beyond picking who you think is the best candidate, and it has come time from above that it should be revealed in the physical world who Mashiach is. When that happens, so Mashiach has broken through into the physical world. Once the existence of Mashiach has broken through into the physical world, then everything else follows from that. At whatever pace it may be, how exactly it will work itself out, how exactly Mashiach will do all the things he has to do, that has not been exactly described for us. But the Rebbe says you should know, and it's not just something that you should know, but something you have to live with is the fact that Mashiach has already been revealed in this physical world. Not simply as an exercise by Hasidim who are rooting for their leader and saying, like it says in the Gemara, that each student saw in his teacher the greatest candidate for Mashiach. But the Rebbe says we're beyond that point. We went beyond the point of trying to identify who is worthy of being Mashiach. And we went to the point where we already have the revelation of the one who was actually chosen to be Mashiach. The question is, that's very nice. That's very good. But the question is, how do you see how just having this knowledge, this piece of information, assuming you're ready to accept that piece of information, are you ready to accept that the time has come already, that the revelation, the identity of Mashiach has already been revealed in the world, that God decided that it's time to reveal the identity of Mashiach in the world, which is the spiritual breakthrough of the idea of Mashiach into the physical world. The question is that how does that translate into actually starting to live your life in a geula dikka way? The Rebbe spoke over and over that you have to start trying to live your life, visualize how you will behave in how each situation you will deal with after Mashiach comes, and try to start dealing with it that way before Mashiach comes. That's how the Rebbe says, in your daily life, you should start living today exactly the way you would live in your Meis HaMashiach Mamash. And the ability to do that, where do you have the ability to do that from? If you don't have yet all the revelations of Mashiach, the Eirei Shel Mashiach, the light of Mashiach is not fully revealed in the world. You don't see godliness openly wherever you turn. So the question is, the fact that you're living with the existence of Mashiach, how is that enough to translate into actually living your daily life as you would in the times of Mashiach? And the question is, how would you live your daily life in the times of Mashiach? The way Chassidus explains the ideas of reward and punishment is very different than it's explained anywhere else. For instance, if you look at some of the Kabbalah Svarim, or some of the Musa Svarim that based their teachings on Kabbalah, you'll find a lot of hair-raising descriptions of what hell is like. You'll find hair-raising descriptions of there are steps that a soul has to go through before even entering into Gehenna, before even entering into hell. And that's the kafakela, which is like a slingshot that the soul is thrown from one end of the world to the other. There are hair-raising descriptions of what the punishment after a person leaves this world is like. So, but Chassidus explains that all those descriptions, and the same thing on the other hand, the descriptions of what the rewards will be like, are all mishalom. They're all they're all trying to explain a spiritual concept in physical terms. What does it mean to be thrown at, in a slingshot? What does it mean to be burnt up in a fire? A hot hell or a cold hell? What is all this? So Hasidus explains that after a person leaves this world, they experience whatever they did in this world. Whatever you are busy with in this world, while you're in this world, you could always change. You could do tshuva and change. But after you leave this world, you can't change. So what you do is you continue being exactly who you are. But let's say if the Kabbalah explains the punishment for dvarim b'talim, for talking nonsense, useless talk, is kafakela, is being thrown in the slingshot from one end of the world to the other. What does that mean? It means like this. That nonsensical talk, which to you, why were you talking it? Because it seemed pretty interesting at the time. Why was it interesting to you? Because you live in a world in which godliness is concealed. So therefore you thought, this is interesting. But what if you find yourself in a situation in which godliness is revealed? Then this same thing would be extremely, the same talk would be extremely painful to you. Like someone who they're not doing anything, they don't mind talking nonsense. When they're involved in something very busy, and something very important, and someone comes and talks to you nonsense, it's a distraction, it's a disturbance. Go away from me. I'm involved in something busy. Why are you talking to me nonsense? The same thing which you talked about yesterday, when you weren't busy, you enjoyed talking about it. But when you have something important to do, and someone comes and talks to you, you say, get away from me, you're bothering me. So what happens when somebody actually discovers the most important thing in existence, which is godliness? He sees it in front of his eyes, but he can't stop being involved in what he's doing. Because after you leave this world, you continue, your head continues being involved in what you were involved in this world. So for this person, their head is in nonsense, but at the same time, they see what's really important. And that is the torture of being pulled back and forth. On the one hand, you see godliness, and you say, this is what I want. On the other hand, you can say, this is what you want, but it's not what you did. You were busy with other stuff. And you have to go back to your nonsense. And as you go back to your nonsense, and you say, one second, but this is torture. This is not what I want. I want godliness. And you feel pulled to godliness. But they say, you can't have godliness. You didn't. That's not what you meant. And so basically, the suffering of the soul of talking to Adam and Talim is the awareness of the significance of what you've been doing all along. All along, God was here. Hashem's presence is here all along. And you're standing in front of Hashem and you're talking nonsense. But it seemed interesting because you couldn't see him. But if you could see him, then that same talk is torture. And the same thing, what's an Avera? For an Avera, Gehenna, what's Gehenna? A person being burnt up. What does a person being burnt up mean? It's a mashal. What's it a mashal for? We say when a person does a sin is because they're excited. They're aroused. Passion, you feel excited. That's experienced as warmth. And it feels good, it feels nice. Okay, why does that warmth feel good to you? Because God is concealed from you and you don't see the significance of what a sin is. But if you could see the significance of what your Avera is, if you could see the effects of what your Avera is doing to your relationship to God, that same warmth, instead of being pleasant, would be torture. There's no one sitting and boiling up pots of boiling water and dipping people in. This is not what goes on. You just relive your life experiences in a different context. You relive your life experiences in the presence of in the presence of godliness revealed. That's what happens after a person leaves this world. It's not the way, you know, it's the descriptions. It sounds like, because they have to give gashmius, like a physical mishalom for what happens, but really reward. And the same, on the other hand, the same thing is reward. Right now, when you did a mitzvah, you felt pretty silly. You put on this piece of wool with strings hanging on it, and you feel pretty ridiculous. What am I doing? What am I accomplishing with this? What? You take these boxes, you put them on your head, on your hand, like. So what happened? I don't know. What's the reward? The reward is you get to see what happened. You get to see what was really going on, what you really accomplished when you put on that talus, when you put on those tefillin. You light a candle in your house. You say, okay, very nice. It gives a little glow. If I hit a switch, I get 1,000 watts. I mean, like what's the candle? Like, big deal. What's the significance? The fact is, in this world, you don't see it. But in the next world, you get to see what it is that your mitzvahs were accomplished. What it is that you did with your mitzvahs. The connection you established with Hashem through your mitzvah. You get to experience in the next world. That, but in the next world, you only get to see the spiritual effects of your mitzvahs and also of Chas V'Shalom the other way. Mashiach is different. That Mashiach, you get to see the physical effects of what your mitzvahs did. You don't just get to see the spiritual effects of what your mitzvahs did. You get to see the physical effects of what your mitzvahs did. What does it mean you get to see the physical effects of what your mitzvahs have done in this world? And how is this directly hooked up, directly linked up with the existence of Melech HaMashiach? With living with the existence of Melech HaMashiach? How do you see it? What does it mean you see the physical effects of what you did? What happens is, and this is what the Rebbe was talking about when he said over and over, open your eyes and see how the world is ready for Geula. What happens is, a very strange thing happens down here. What used to be spiritual concepts, the spiritual reality becomes one with the physical reality. That, in other words, until the times of Mashiach, the spiritual reality is concealed from the physical world. In fact, the physical world seems to say the exact opposite of what the Torah tells us is going on the spiritual level. But in order to relate to what's going on the physical level, a person has to leave this world. Go to Gan Eden. And then you see what's been happening on the spiritual level. But Mashiach is different. Mashiach is when what's been going on the spiritual level penetrates the physical reality, and actually the spiritual reality becomes the same thing as the physical reality becomes the same thing as the spiritual reality. What does it mean that the physical reality becomes the same thing as the spiritual reality? Well, to use the terminology which the Rebbe describes the mission of our generation, is to bring the Shekhinah lamata ba'aretz, to bring the Shekhinah into the earth. What's the difference between Shekhinah in the heavens and Shekhinah in the earth? What does it mean the Shekhinah is in the earth, in the physical reality? That the physical reality reflects, instead of what the physical reality always did, was conceal. Why didn't you see godliness, even though it's here in the world? Because the physical reality concealed that from you. That instead of the physical reality concealing godliness from you, the physical reality will actually reveal godliness to you. That is what Melech HaMashiach is all about. Melech HaMashiach is the bridge between the spiritual reality and the physical reality. And he totally connects those two things. And what results from that is that the physical realities and express the truths of the spiritual reality. So what previous to Melech HaMashiach were spiritual concepts, in the times of Melech HaMashiach they become physical realities. So for instance, we know that everything in the world was created for positive, everything in the world Hashem created for good. Everything was created for a positive purpose. Yet, we look in the world, before the times of Mashiach, you see many things in the world which seem to only have negative, seem to only be providing be only accomplishing negative things, and it doesn't fit with the spiritual reality. We're told on the spiritual level that everything God does is for good, and everything He created is for good. It doesn't look that way. The physical, in which realms you come to the physical, we know that Chassidus, everything in the world, everything that exists, exists because of the godly that gives it its life. Therefore, everything is ultimately godly. That's true in the spiritual realms. When you come into the physical realm, everything, you look around you and everything seems to be ungodly. There seems to be a lot more ungodly things than godly things. So whatever is described as spiritual reality seems to be in contradiction to the physical reality. Mashiach changes that. Mashiach brings all the spiritual truths that we know and makes them part of the physical reality. So all of a sudden, in the time of Mashiach, you start seeing those same forces which were used to be used for evil, the same forces which used to be used for destruction, that people are starting to channel some of those same forces and some of those same resources to positive uses. So that would be an expression of people trying to find ways. The world is moving in a direction where it's trying to find ways to use forces which till now were thought to only be able to create havoc and destruction, to use those forces and channel them into ways that they could be productive and useful for human beings. You'll see that vehicles of expression which people consider to have only potential for evil, which are being used for negative things, you find them starting to be used for positive things. So you have the television and the radio and newspapers, things which have contributed greatly to the moral decline of our generation. And you find that those same things could start being used as vehicles to spread positive messages, to spread good things. These are just minor examples of how you see things starting to change, that the same physical things that used to represent forces of deterioration, of destruction, those same things are starting to be turned around and being used for positive use. It's just one illustration. So there are many things, in order to know all the things that are going to become the realities of this physical world, that's what you have to learn in Yoni Mashiach. I want to take one issue, which was very much a basic spiritual concept in Hasidic philosophy, and see if we could see how in our generation, how in the generation of Melech HaMashiach, that same concept left the realm of spiritual concept and became a physical reality. You could do this with anything. That anything that it says in the Nevi'im, anything that it says in Chazal, anything that it says in Torah, of things that will take place in the times of Mashiach, you can successfully illustrate how all of those things are starting to happen. I can't go through all of those things, but that is definitely learning Yoni Mashiach Gula. The focus has to be not only on understanding what it says, but seeing, opening your eyes, and seeing how they're starting to happen. I want to take one specific concept, which is especially connected to the Indian of Melech HaMashiach himself. Who is Mashiach? One of the basic concepts that we found in Hasidus is the Indian of a Rebbe. What's the Indian of a Rebbe according to Hasidus? So the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya that the Indian of a Rebbe is that it's compared to the head in relation to the rest of the body. And in fact, the Rebbe is Rosh HaTevis Reish B'nei Yisrael. Chassidim is a tradition amongst Chassidim that the Rebbe is Rosh HaTevis Reish B'nei Yisrael. But the Rebbe explains in Tanya that we know that every spiritual progression, unlike in the physical world, a physical progression, when you reach the next step, the previous step is gone. For instance, when a father has a child, so the child who used to be part of the father, and now has become a separate existence. is now exists something separate from the Father. Whereas in the spiritual realms, it doesn't work that way. In the spiritual realm, every step of the spiritual progression continues to exist. A person has to be constantly connected to his spiritual source in order to continue to live. If there's any separation between the individual and his spiritual source, he cannot continue to exist. In the physical realm, the child can be separated from his father and continue to exist. In the spiritual reality, it doesn't work that way. There has to be that constant connection. So the Alter Rebbe says, it comes out, that we know, it's explained in Kabbalah, that in the chain of descent, we know that the Neshama is a chelik eloikam imal mamash, is a part of God. So at its point of origin, it's one with the Eibishter, with Hashem. Then it starts a process, a spiritual descent of separating more and more from its source and coming lower and lower until it comes down into this world and feels itself as a total separate entity, totally removed, and has to actually start building and recreating a relationship with Hashem. So he says, every step of that spiritual progression still exists. And there are souls who their soul exists at that higher level. Each level of the chain of souls, as the souls come down, there are souls that exist on that level. So it comes out that there's this, that your spiritual source, the spiritual source of your soul, is someone else's soul. That there's a chain of souls, and there's a higher soul that includes in it other souls underneath it. And there's one soul that's on top, that he includes the entire Jewish people, and he's called the head of the Jewish people. In order to be connected to your spiritual source, you have to be connected to him. And through him comes all spiritual and material bounty from above, and all spiritual and material blessing. And in order to receive that, you have to be connected to him. Now you see that even people who are not connected to the head of the Jewish people also have spiritual and material blessings. So that's the way they get it, is they get it, but they don't, are not able to feel as much that the direct connection to Hashem through those blessings. Because since they're getting it more distant, more removed, they're not openly connected to the source. Therefore, they don't see the direct connection between the brachas, the blessings they receive, and the source where it comes from. Wonderful concept. And we can well imagine Hasidim sitting hundreds of years ago and learning this concept, meditating on this concept, and looking at their Rebbe and saying, he is the source of all spiritual and material blessings in the entire world. So how come only a few thousand people know about it? It was a concept. But the reality, the physical reality, did not in any way support that concept. You looked at the physical reality, it was a Rebbe, he had many followers, but in a small town, I mean, thousands of people, there's millions of Jews out there. Where's the connection? So it says in Chassidus that they're all connected to him, but where do you see the connection? So, along came the Rebbe, in our generation, and took that Hasidic concept and made it into a physical reality. That every Jew, no matter where he is, no matter where, from one end of the world to the other, every Jew has some connection with the Rebbe. Some more, some less. Some positive, some negative. But every Jew in the world has been affected, almost every Jew in the world has been affected one way or another by the Rebbe himself, or things that he originated, things that he started, things that he got going. So the same concept, the same spiritual concept of a Rebbe has all of a sudden started becoming a physical reality. And now And now the Rebbe, the Reish Bnei Yisrael, is a figure who's known from one end of the world to the other. And is someone that commands the respect of heads of governments from one end of the world to the other. Which again, is something that we never saw before. We know that it says in Chazal, Man Malchi Rabbonim. Who are the kings? Who are the kings of this world? The kings of this world are the Chachamim. They are the kings of this world. Again, it was a very nice concept, and Jews in a certain way looked at the Chachamim as kings, but you didn't see that they should get, that our Chachamim should get the honor, that the world should recognize and give, accord that kind of honor to our tzaddikim, to our Chacham. And yet again, for the first time in our history, you see king leaders of world leaders of superpowers giving honor, showing honor and respect to a Jewish leader, which seems totally out of character. Not only out of character because we always were removed from the world, but out of character because you have to remember most of these nations are not too long ago involved in persecuting us. And that leaders of governments and heads of state should be giving honor, that is something that we never saw before. And again, that is something that's happened in our day. And even today, the Rebbe is being accorded honors. The Rebbe is being accorded honors even today that are unheard of except for singular individuals in history. There's no such thing as that a rabbi, I mean, bottom line, a rabbi who spends his whole day in a room learning Torah and teaching Torah, what did he do? I mean, that his works and his activities should be recognized globally from one end of the world to the other is unheard. So the question is, there's actually another dimension to the connection between a Rebbe and a Chassid, which did not exist in previous generations, which is something that was revealed in this world by the Rebbe himself. The Rebbe took this idea of Reish Bnei Yisrael, the head of the Jewish people, and took it a step further. The head of the Jewish people, there's a relationship between the head and the rest of the body, but the relationship between the head and the rest of the body is such that the rest of the body is not dependent on the head for its very life. Chassidus explains. Life, all the energies that are transmitted to the rest of the body all originate from the head. In fact, science bears this out. Science says you don't see with your eye, you see with your head. The power of sight comes from the head, not from the eye. The eye is only the vessel through which the power of sight, which exists in the head, is expressed. All the different various energies and powers that the body have all originate in the head. And they're all transmitted from the head to the rest of the body. So that was the example of a leader of the generation who his role was in giving to each person their exact spiritual needs. And that's how he was compared to a head, that through him came to each individual their spiritual and material needs tailored to exactly what their mission was in life. And therefore, Chassidim would come to the Rebbe to ask them, what job should I take? Even though the Gemara says that knowing for sure where your income is going to come from, that's one of the seven things that a person can't know. What you could do is you could experiment, you could try things out, and if the Eivishta helps, you hit the right thing, and that's your panos. So it was something that people couldn't know. And the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, that's something only a Novi could know. And yet you find that people came to the Rebbe told all the Rabbeim, and the Rebbe would tell them what business they should go into. Because since all your spiritual and material blessings come through them, so they could tell you which is the right channel for you to get what you need. where you should go, what city you should go to, where you should live, what your occupation should be, how you'll fulfill your mission in life. So basically, your relationship with the Rebbe was primarily that you learned from the Rebbe, you got direction from the Rebbe. The Rebbe gave you as an individual exactly what you needed. And the Rebbe gave all the other Hasidim as individuals exactly what they needed. But you also find that there was a spiritual hierarchy even in the Hasidic world. The Alter Rebbe in his time writes that instituted